Good morning. It's December 16th, 7:29 a.m. here on the Pacific Northwest coast of North America. Technically, I'm 30 miles from the actual coast if you go as the crow flies. Anyway, though, this is going to be probably a piss people off Monday. We can start by irritating a wealthy water holder, because I'm sorry, guy, I gotta talk about Bitcoin, even though I know it's annoying as hell to you. So just the way it is. Let's start by ticking people off about Quark Coin and the other cryptocurrencies. And hang on just a second, gotta go help the puppy here. Okay, I'm back from that. The older dog has mobility issues now, and I've got to give him a hand occasionally. Anyway, let's quickly go through this thing about Quark Coin. It's had a weird, and by that I mean atypical, anomalous rise in value through the ranks of the cryptocurrencies. I don't do the trading and stuff. I'm not into, quote, investment or speculation. In that sense, I speculate in ideas, not in currencies and crap. So it's not anything that's ever drawn me. As soon as I discovered the idea of the remake of the, you know, or this iteration of the remake of money, because bear in mind now, we've gone through three forms of electronic money here that have been shut down by the government because they were all gold-backed, and the people in the bankster community cannot have gold involved because it points out the huge level of inflation that their digital printing has caused in the financial system worldwide. Anyway, so as soon as I discovered the Bitcoin, a non-gold backed, not going to be threatened, or it was easily threatened in the beginning, but it overcame that vulnerability period. At that point, I stopped looking. I mean, I knew there were other alt currencies out there, but they didn't offer anything to me because of this issue of network effect. Okay, I'll briefly explain that network effect is like here's two different situations. In one situation, we have Bitcoin with network effect, and the other we have Quark Coin with no network effect. And if they both started off equal, Bitcoin situation is that it has a network effect because there's no ownership anywhere. There's no central thing any place. I learn about it and I tell a fellow and then I go and I tell another fellow. So I've told two guys, but because it's a networking kind of a thing, each of those guys told two guys, and of the two people they told, one of them got excited, who told two more, and the network keeps growing on its own simply because it's a really damn good idea. Now, that's the Bitcoin scenario. That's what's occurred over these past couple of years, this network effect. And it goes even further than that because it engenders billions and billions of dollars of infrastructure. You got wild-ass people out there like myself running all around Olympia trying to get local businesses to accept Bitcoin. And so, I mean, I don't get paid for this, and I'm putting in time and energy on this shit, and I'm not alone. you know, and for every old bastard like myself, there's hundreds of these younger guys with a lot more energy, that are a lot better looking, that are a lot better at the job out there pushing and building the Bitcoin infrastructure. So that's the network effect, right? It just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, and you can't help it. Once you reach a certain threshold, the network effect takes over. You can even look this up on Wikipedia, probably. The network effect. Now, let's go over to Quark Coin. Quark Coin is like it's a centralized thing, okay? I've done as much research as I can on it, and everything keeps leading me back to the same small group of individuals. So I think of it as something other than a legitimate peer-to-peer cryptocurrency. The reason I say that is because there is no network effect there. There's no piling on effect that you see. There's no excitement within a community of developers. There's no mining pools I've been able to find that are actually operating. There's no active blockchain. There's no processing. There's no nothing there. You know, Litecoin has mining and blockchain stuff going on that you can actually get out and look and see happening. All that Quarkcoin's got going for it is this weird, anomalous, market capitalization and growth. So I'm putting it down as a pump and dump scheme or something other than a legitimate cryptocurrency for anybody that asks me. And I wouldn't be involved in it, even if I was the kind of person that would go on out and do trading. With the idea of making a profit from, swapping stuff back and forth. I just don't think that way, so it's not anything that would occur to me. But even if I did think that way, I would sure as hell stay away from Quarkcoin because it doesn't pass the smell test. It's very stinky. Then I keep running into these videos by this, guy, Bill Still. Bill looks very, 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 very uncomfortable, with this whole idea of these coins. It's as though his mouth is saying one thing and his face is saying something entirely different. If you shut the sound off and just look at him for a few minutes in his videos, not referencing what he is saying, you just see that there's a great deal of discomfort that's being expressed in his face. So it's at odds with the presentation usually when he's talking about the Quark coin and stuff. So I think even he is uncomfortable with it. But that's my personal impression. You know, I have no real way of, and I'm putting, motivations or on his behavior that may not be valid, you know. But nonetheless, there's a whole lot of off-putting material, about Quarkcoin, and I'm saying, no, it's not legit. There is no peer-to-peer there. There's no network. There's no, reason to use it. The, stated mining of 297 million and then a million a year, there's no incentive to mine the thing. There won't be a network effect that ever occurs as a result of Quarkcoin, at least as it is described now. And since it's all so centralized, there's no open source, there's no peer-to-peer community. It's like a bunch of guys got together, created a coin, or were given a coin, and the software and so on, and then told to go on out and try and sell it. And that's what it is. You got people out there trying to sell the Quarkcoin. And the difference is they want you to buy the Quarkcoin. When I go to a business, I'm making them an offer and I'm saying, you know, basically, y'all savvy to Bitcoin? You know, it's in your interest to be so. If not, that's fine. I'm not trying to sell you on anything. I don't give a damn if you actually accept it or not. I'm going to go on. There's a network effect there. Sooner or later, you guys will get around to accepting it. Whether your initial interest is negative is immaterial. It will occur, basically. Simply because of the network effect. By the way, insofar as Bitcoin is concerned, we can look out and see the network effect growing continuously. You have these people who are into investment and speculation, and they're called venture capitalists. These guys like to go on out and basically cause trouble. And anyway, so they put investments in areas where trouble is most likely to occur. And disruption, you know, they're into that. And discontinuity. And so these guys invest in things. They are motivated to do so by their own interests individually and collectively. And so the network effect of Bitcoin has caught their attention and off they go. You don't see venture capitalists investing a dime in Quarkcoin. There you may find some people speculating on purchasing it in order to sell to the greater fool, but it is unlike the investment that's going into Bitcoin where you see the venture capitalists building up an infrastructure. Now, also note, the venture capitalists are building upon the shoulders of giants, okay? All of these squatters, all these kids, and by that I mean anybody under the age of 40, all these Bitcoin evangelists and proselytizers that have been out there for years, walking around the planet, giving Bitcoins away, and as I did in the early days, to get everybody excited about them, as cool as hell. And all of these guys, they're out there having for nearly 5 years, if you want to think of it in one way, walked around the planet and shown people this truly marvelous idea, okay, this idea of Bitcoin. Now, that has resulted in untold tens, hundreds of thousands of hours of labor, uncompensated. No one's paying anybody to go on out and do this. But the idea is so damn good, and it liberates humanity so easily and so well and so perfectly that from the horrors that await us if we don't do this, that you've got these visionaries out there Dutch and German and Italian and English and American and South African and, you know, Indian and Chinese, you know, I don't know about the Chinese and the Hindus, but in many of the Western areas, these were squatters. These are very, disenfranchised fringe element people that, and everything good always comes from the fringe and works in its way in, by the way. That came up with this marvelous implementation of this idea. And because it's so damn good, they just started walking around with the idea. Convinced, like any other rabid, you know, newly converted fellow, that the basis of their idea was sound for humanity. That being the case, it turns out they were right. And the universe rewarded the effort, the value that was put in there by creating the network effect. So really, that's my take on Bitcoin versus Quark. Bitcoin's going to rule and dominate because of the network effect. It's not an issue of one currency is better than another. I've listened to Peter Schiff and all of his objections. He's wrong, flat out wrong. This is Piss Him Off Monday, by the way. So we pissed off, what's that guy, Still, we pissed him off. Now we're going to piss off Peter Schiff. He's not an asshole. He's just, I mean, he's no more of an asshole than any other human, but he's just, paradigm bound, right? He can't see, beyond his level of comfort. He's not able to examine an idea, without having to first accept it. He's one of those kind of guys. I can examine an idea, fold it into my personal view of universe, look at it, see how it reacts and all of this, and then throw it away and stitch my personal view of universe back up. A lot of people find that difficult. Anyway, his objections to Bitcoin are seen from an old paradigm. He just doesn't quite grasp what's going on. He's seeing it as a currency, and it's really not that. It's a peer-to-peer re-evolution or reinventing of money and a crystallization of money and what it should do for us and so on. So anyway, and that's where we're at with this. Peter Schiff is wrong. We're going to be using Bitcoin. Bitcoin's going to win. The cobble is dying. The only question is, basically, will they be able to pull off global horrific destruction such that so many of us are killed that we will forget what they did to us and that will allow this cycle to start all over again, or whether this time it will be a different situation. Now let's piss off George Ure. Yeah, I saw his comments on the Edward Snowden thing. And it's all it does is once again prove that George is susceptible to the propaganda from the government. You know, I mean, that's been his objections to Bitcoin, was the fear of IRS, not in a real examination of the Bitcoin. He doesn't understand it. And so this is just yet another acquiescence of those people that watch TV to the propaganda that infiltrates their brains. Now, let's see. I don't know. I've been told Max Keiser supported Quark Coin. If so, I'm sure he's caught up in enthusiasm and hasn't actually examined it because he's not an idiot. You know, he needs some health tips. Somebody should tell Stacey Herbert that, you know, the British diet and the British climate is not good for Max. He needs some vitamin D and a Bellicon bouncer here and get some exercise in that boy and get a tan. Let's see. Who else was I going to irritate? Oh, yeah. Okay. All about this Iraqi, dinar revalue. You know, it's like there's all these rumors about a global reset of currencies and, a giant Bretton Woods and everybody signing off on shit. And, a lot of people are taking, information headlines and making it fit their scenarios. And no, I don't think anybody's going to be rewarded for the rape and pillage and murder of all of the Iraqis. You know, basically that would be what it would be from a universal viewpoint. If the Iraqi dinar revalues to the point that a few hundreds of thousands of elitists and then, you know, theoretically millions of stooges in the United States to the elitists become wealthy overnight as a result of the revaluation, then what that would be universe rewarding the death and destruction of the Iraqi people, or the people in the Iraqi area, because they were never really a cohesive nation prior to the British coming in and setting up Iraq. But anyway, it would be the a reward for all that murder and destruction. And it doesn't really happen that way. You'll notice that the Vietnamese dong never revalued. The reason that they keep pointing to Kuwait for revalue is because it revalued, but Kuwait was a conquered country that was liberated. Iraq is still a conquered country that's been destroyed. And no, nobody's going to set an artificial, you know, the IMF can stink up all things all they want in terms of saying, oh yes, you know, Iraq dollar ought to be worth this amount of American dollars. It isn't going to happen. It won't mean shit because they don't control Forex. The Forex is a huge fucking market, and it is the people that actually make those decisions in the Forex, other than the fact that it's manipulated, but it's not manipulated 100%. It's not controlled. And so the IMF can't come in and say the Iraqi dinar starts trading today at $3 to a U.S. It would instantly plunge to probably about 25,000 Iraqi dinar to a U.S. dollar, simply because there's no there anymore. It's not a cohesive state. Yeah, sure, it may have a lot of natural resources underneath it, but you know, ownership would be the issue, and so on and so on. So there's that level of objections to the dinar. Plus, all of the language in the dinar is all about hope. It's all about religion. It's all about cult. You know, believe, 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 and it'll come to you, right? That kind of thing. So it's basically a prosperity cult, a New Age religion prosperity cult with a little bit of Christian salt sprinkled over for the guys that, you know, can't see past their Bible and somehow think that their God is going to reward them for the horror that was unleashed upon all these millions of dead Iraqi people and all of the deformed children that the depleted uranium has caused all across the Mesopotamian region all the way into India. And so, yeah, okay, let's see if universe rewards you for that grand act that the Bushes did upon all of those people. You know, all wars are bullshit, guys. All wars are the elitist fucking about with each other. And so the idea universe is going to reward that, we'll see. You know, I'll be mighty damn surprised if that ever occurs. And actually, I have a lot of reasons to think that it won't, just because the language of some of these assholes, like this TNT Tony fucker. His language is all about, he wants to be the preacher. He wants you to know that he's the preacher of the choir, or he's the preacher and he's directing the choir and all this kind of stuff. His language is really interesting because it's all full of religion shit. It's all full of cult stuff. It's all full of hope. And he's running out of it because there have been certain pushes that have been put on the language. Now he finds himself into a nasty little corner where he's got to deliver some 800 numbers and bankers that are willing to have people come in the middle of the night and sit around phone centers and stuff. You know, what a bogus bunch of engineering. This guy's never worked a call center. He's never seen one in operation. He doesn't know how they function. He's never been inside a banking operation. I used to code for banks. You know, I've seen this shit from the inside. They don't operate that way. There's no national coordination of banking efforts here. This guy is just so full of shit. It's just, it's a wonder it's not oozing out of his ears. Anyway, though, so y'all have good luck with that horror, the Iraqi RV, how you're going to revalue the currency and become multimillionaires and never ever think about the 1.25 million Iraqi children that are deformed right at this moment from the depleted uranium and the horror of their lives, and not to say anything of all the millions of Iraqis and the destruction of the infrastructure, because old Georgie Bush, why, they tried to kill my pappy. They tried to kill my pappy. Got to go get them bastards. You know, he's just such a fucker. Anyway, so all of those other fuckers are sure going to get rewarded, guys. Yeah, this whole scenario from TNT Tony and all of those guys. Yep, yep. You know, that's one of the guys I'd like to really sit down and debate. And then I'd like to get him so pissed that he'd, you know, stand up and fall over dead from a heart attack simply because of the high blood pressure affecting his dinosaur-like brain and his inability to cogitate. The horror of it all is that he knows enough language to create a cult around himself and sell this shit. But we'll see. It's a bizarre world, guys. So let me look at my list and we'll see who else we can piss off today. Okay, yeah, yep. On the list is Ben Fulford and David Wilcock and all of these other, I can't even say they're well-meaning, but all these other gurus, just like the dinar gurus. You know, gurus are not necessarily good guys. They're interesting in terms of the connotation of a guru in India. It's not a clean one. So they should be careful of the language they choose to label themselves. But the dinar fellows. But anyway, back to Fulford and Wilcock and these guys. Nasara, all of these prosperity programs. You just don't get how things work. We've got a prosperity program working right now. It's called collectively reengineering of money. And one of the examples is the cryptocurrencies. This is going to take the power away from the elite. All of these other Nasara, all of these things are merely yet one more iteration of the current system in control. If you think about it, none of these people are in any way talking about changing the system. They're not changing anything that will affect your lives. If any of their shit came in, no one would ever be wealthy because, of course, no, you can't have a system that's based on non-scarcity and have it be meaningful among humans. So if everybody's got $1 million, I tell you it's going to cost $500,000 for a can of beer. So, you know, fat lot of good, your $1 million to you, right? These prosperity programs where they're going to give the wealth back to the humans this is a new age, external savior. Bear in mind, you're allowing an authority, some person outside yourself to take over your destiny if you're buying into this shit so that they can award you blessings. And it's all so much a religious scam that, you know, I just don't have time for Fulford, Wilcock, Nasara, any of these other fuckers. Their grasp of reality is strained at best, and is harmful at worst, because they have people actually listening to them and making decisions for their individual lives on what these guys do. There's a hell of a responsibility for that, I know. From a personal level, and it is unconsidered in both the case of in both Fulford and Wilcock and so on. They're motivated by their motivations. Who knows exactly what they are? And but the net result is a huge level of disinformation and putting out all kinds of energies that are dissipative without being growth producing or disruptive to the current system, in spite of what both of them say their goal is, that is their goal, you know, to help bring down the bad guys and so on. And, you know, Fulford saying, oh, there's going to be mass arrest. Yet again, external savior syndrome, right? Who's going to do the arresting? What authority is going to arrest the people on our planet? What authority could arrest any of the high-level people whatsoever? Who is higher than the high elites? Who's going to come on in and arrest them? You know, Fulford never really gets into this, nor does Wilcock. No sheriff is going to be able to go and arrest Obama for his crime. You know, no sheriff will arrest Kissinger, for pedophilia. No sheriff is going to go and arrest any of these bastards, for any of their crimes because the sheriffs are controlled by them and there is no authority greater than them in the authority chain on the planet. Now, the solution to it all is real simple. Don't be an authority tit sucker. And don't look at authority for any fucking thing and step outside of the authority pyramid and look at reality as it exists. And once you step outside of the authority pyramid, you don't need the authority any longer and things change real easy. And it's a different world out here, guys. It's kind of like, well, you know, it's not off the grid because that implies a whole lot of things that are not really effective, sustainable, and so on. Hey, let's piss off all of the off-the-grid preppers and so on. You're never going to be able to survive in the upcoming situations that are going to hit our planet without the vast majority of humans also attempting to do their best to survive and inadvertently enabling you to survive through the network effect, just because it's going to get too fucking nasty. So the idea that we're going to have little tiny enclaves that can be self-sufficient and isolated and survivalist, that's bullshit. They're going to end up as, you know, inbred incest cults if they were to be isolated and so on. It won't happen that way. We're going to go through a huge, horrific level of planetary changes. And in the midst of all of that, we're going to get what I call the hard renaissance. It's a hard as adamantine. It's a renaissance of need, of necessity, because if you're not thinking and inventing and creating new stuff in response to the new conditions, you will die. It's going to be a nasty period of time for many, many, many years, but it's also going to be a huge period of growth for humanity. And in many different levels, and vast quantities of real change, not this political change bullshit. But it's not going to occur within the authoritarian structure. And so all the people that are prepping for that kind of a cessation, civil war in the United States, all that kind of stuff, they're missing the boat. They're missing the whole thing. They're also going to be left in the dust. Okay, so let's go on and lay out the precious metals things. Yes, we see a cross in our ability to do some charting at around 3405 on the Bitcoin relative to the breakout of silver and gold from their control. That I think occurs somewhere in the end of the second week in January. We see this particular cross developing. The ability to lay the charts on our temporal model space is difficult, and so the range from that would be like, say, from the second week in January to probably the end of the first week in March, about a 30-day plus range in there, about 37 to 38 days of leeway with a little tiny 3 days on either side in terms of when it becomes activated. It's a blend of short and long-term data, so it's, as I say, it's difficult to actually place on model space with any level of accuracy. But the 3405 cross level is also in existence at the time that we run into the Fed running into their existential, can we continue to exist crises in late winter, early spring. So the 3405 appears to persist for, you know, if it's in second week in January, then it's going to persist for a couple of months until we get into the period where the Fed is runs into their existential crisis that actually hits the media. But during that period of time, silver and gold will break loose from level of control, and they will escalate precipitously. But no, I don't think either one of them will ever catch up with Bitcoin in terms of nominal dollar or euro prices, simply because they're going to serve a different function. They're storehouse of value. They're not an exchange. And the exchange is going to be adding more value. Okay, so gold and silver are a storehouse of wealth. They're not an exchange of goods between individuals. They're not smart money that way. And the smart money of the network effect is going to add more money, more value to Bitcoin, making it more valuable than either gold and silver in any given set of circumstances. Other than strict storehouse of value, because Bitcoin's always going to be relatively volatile. But of course, the larger it grows, the more stability that's involved. Let's see. I think that's about it. I don't know that there's too many more people I can irritate. Okay, so that's the end of Piss 'Em Off Monday. We've got a lot of stuff going on here, and I've had to take a few minutes break to get out and deal with it all. I think that's about it. I've inadvertently found myself involved in a couple of Bitcoin startups. It's a lot of fun for an old fart. It's a lot better than mining, as one of the guys says. Anyway, but there's people all over that are building out infrastructure like mad for Bitcoin. Network effect rules. And I guess that's it. There'll be other Wujos. We're developing data for another run. Interesting stuff showing up. If there's anything, anything real pertinent in the immediate and short term, I'll post it or do a Wujo about it rather than wait for a report, because we just don't know when we're going to get to it. There's all kinds of crap going on around here for a while, so it's something. And Igor's moving again. I swear that guy. You know, well, he's been in the military. You know how that goes. You get used to moving every 9 months to 11 months, something like that. Can't get it out of your blood. Anyway, so that's it for Monday. Everybody have a good week. It's going to be very exciting as we get through the 19th, especially as relates to the markets and crap. So have fun, y'all. Bye. Yeah, especially the guys I pissed off. You know, if anybody takes offense personally, I'd be quite happy to tell you where I live. You know, I'm too old to go travel, but if you want to come and try and beat me up, hey, I'd love to try. It'd be fun. Bye.